You are listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show, broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF-FM in Peterborough, Canada.
Hey kids!
I'm Batman.
Look, up in the sky! It's a bird!
It's a plane!
It's dance-off, bro! Me and you!
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm your host, Dan Collins.
Hey there, this is Martin Bruda.
Chris Gilp.
Hi, I'm Sam Tweedle. I could talk about Archie forever.
The biggest bane to my existence right now is Shield number 9.
They know that I would have put it under my shirt and ran off.
What are you talking about? I haven't seen any Action Comics number 1.
Gwenpool, I mean Spider-Gwen, the whole heat and stuff, this is going to be worth a few bucks. And nobody wanted it.
Yes, Dan, the Killing Joke does need to be R-rated.
I kind of like punching the walls of reality as a way to bring a character back because nobody knows what we're talking about right now.
Dark Knight Strikes Back was one of the biggest piles of dung ever, and it was what, $10 an issue?
We need to shame Sam. He is not here because he's gone to the Gem and the Holograms movie.
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I am Dan Collins.
Martin Bruda.
And Chris Gilpin.
How is everybody this Friday?
I was going to start singing The Boys Are Back in Town.
There you go. Them young pups you had in the seats last week. What's that all about?
Young pups.
The young guns.
Yeah.
Got to get us fogies in there.
That's right.
Yeah, it's time to do some complaining.
We were talking about Faust in the kitchen there, and I'm pretty sure Faust came out before Adam Bishop was born.
Yeah.
Which is kind of funny because it's actually Adam Bishop that turned me on to the Faust movie. Yeah. I didn't even know there was a movie. And Adam's like, yes, there's a movie. I'm like, oh my gosh, I got to have a copy of this.
But not for $80.
Yeah, it's out of print and I haven't watched it yet. But it's expensive to try to find the Region 1.
Hmm.
We were just talking about this in the kitchen. There's a Region 2 PAL French classic release. That's kind of been re-released. You know how when you go into Walmart, you get the movie and it's got like a fancy cover on it, like Happy Valentine's Day movie or a Christmas movie. It's got an extra thing. Yeah, this is some kind of a French release, but it's got an English track on it. So I ordered that instead. It was like $20.
Yeah.
So I watched the movie that way.
Yeah.
Je ne parlez-vous en francais.
No.
You might learn some phrases before the end of it.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, my grade 9 French isn't too bad. So.
Yeah, that reminds me of a... There's a store in mall in Toronto. I can't even remember the name of the mall or the store, but they had those. They would have those movies on the shelf.
Oh, really?
But they would be like, the guy was out looking for Private Eyes with Don Knotts. And
oh my gosh! Yeah, yeah.
Couldn't find it anywhere. Mm-hmm. And I found it at this place, and it was like $40 for a DVD, right? Which I splurged and bought it and watched it once. But yeah.
Adam is bragging because he got his for $8. He just texted me.
Yeah, I know he did. Yeah, he was showing me some pictures of it. It's like an old video store rental copy. So I'm looking at one. There's one right now for $50 on Amazon. And I kind of was like,
It's like it's going to be a third party seller, right?
Yeah. Okay. Third party used copy. And that's how he got his. He just kept sitting there watching on his wish list until it popped up and boom. Thank you.
Yeah.
Somebody who didn't know what it was.
That's probably what you should do then. You don't have to, I mean, you just got a copy, but.
I got my French copy, and there, like I said, there's an English 5.1 track in there. So, you know, I put my 1990s, 2000 eye patch on and fired up my DVD.
Do you want me to,
ripper.
Should we segue straight into one of our topics?
Sure.
That sounds a lot like what I do when I'm waiting for the omnibuses to drop on Amazon. Wink, wink.
Yeah, once again.
Put it in your cart, and then you wait and see if it goes down from the fair but overly priced, you know, $80, $90, $100 range for a giant omnibus.
Well, the other thing you can do is you can pre-order it, right? And if you pre-order it and the price drops, then you get the dropped price. But if the price goes back up, you never get charged the higher price because you pre-ordered it. Mm-hmm. So you constantly get the lowest price available. And if, you know, a week before it comes out, you find out it's going to be cheaper at Chapters or your comic shop can get it cheaper, you can then cancel the order.
Uh-huh.
Not that I would encourage this, but I know somebody who also just uses pre-orders on things to get the free shipping on an item they actually want, and then cancels the pre-order okay. immediately after getting their other item.
I got Amazon Prime, so I can watch Amazon Prime TV shows.
Oh yeah,
like, some of us aren't that cool, Marty.
So no. I get the free shipping anyway. So
yeah,
some of us are still on our free Crave trial for Game of Thrones.
Oh, there's a free Crave trial?
There was.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if your parents. Maybe I shouldn't say this, but if your parents have Bell Satellite,
yeah,
you just grab their username and password for their Bell account, shove it into Crave, and Crave's like, okay,
oh,
you're good.
Oh.
The only problem is my sister found this out too, so. I'm like, oh, let's check my cravings. And it's like, what is Paw Patrol? What is all these cartoons?
You no, don't know I was what watching Paw Patrol is.
I was watching something else.
You're a lucky man.
This is brutal. This is brutal. But yeah, as far as the omnibuses go, that kind of segues into another topic that we had there. DC just announced a few more hardcover collections that are getting canceled because of not enough orders. So there's a hardcover of Hard Traveling Heroes. We were talking about Hard Traveling Heroes a few weeks ago. It got canceled. Some other omnibus got canceled. And there's always this one guy on the comic book collecting forum. There's two comic book collecting forums. Comic book collectors and then comic book collectors closed.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Just on the forum.
And then there's the one that I got thrown out of.
Oh,
so I guess there's
one.
There's three.
What do you mean one?
And yeah, that'll come as no surprise to anybody. But every single time this happens, he goes on this massive rant like a lunatic. I mean, who does that?
Yeah.
But he goes on this massive rant about how Warner Brothers makes so much money that they should produce the volume anyways so that he can get his copy so that his library is complete.
Hmm.
And it's just like, dude, they canceled it because there wasn't enough pre-orders.
Yeah, one is not enough.
One is not enough. You know, it's like Adam Bishop said on the show a little while ago, 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago. That's fine. Like, let's print it, but then divide the cost of the printing, the entire print run, amongst the five people who pre-ordered it. And there you go. Here's your $500 omnibus.
Yeah. Okay.
So I was thinking about this, and I don't know for sure, but I'm assuming DC's basing most of that information on Diamond pre-orders. Would they get pre-order information from the book distribution channel versus the comic book distribution channel?
Yeah, I don't know.
So are we kind of, you know, like I said, like we just said, we're gaming the Amazon system to get the trade payer back at the cheapest price.
Yeah.
And with the Amazon Prime and the shipping and stuff, like I love my local comic shops, but gee whiz, if I can get the exact same trade paperback for 40% of what it cost at the local comic shop.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That's a huge price difference.
And not just like 40%, like sometimes you can, you know, watch for them to go on for a better sale and get 60, 70% off.
Oh yeah. That's what I mean. Like 40% of the cost, like it's 60% off.
Yeah.
Like I was looking at this one trade paperback. I was in Chapters. I go to Chapters all the time. I got an iRewards card and all this sort of stuff. And we take the kids and we buy local as much as possible at the local bookstores and all that stuff as much as possible. But if you're sitting there and you're holding it in your hand and it's $58 Canadian, Amazon has it for $32.
Yeah.
That is huge. Like,
especially if you buy a lot of them.
I'm not made of money.
No.
You know? So You gotta kind of do what you gotta kind of do, and as much as you love supporting the local comic shops as much as possible, that's a huge difference. So there's a lot of us that go out there and buy the trades on Amazon. Is that cutting ourselves off at the shins for these books if DC's getting all of their pre-sales information from Diamond only? Mm-hmm. But that's a huge supposition on my part. I don't know if that's the case.
Yeah.
Maybe they are getting it. Like, maybe Amazon is reporting, like, nobody's pre-ordered this. So, well, like, I don't know what's causing the decision, but obviously there's not enough demand, so the book gets canceled.
Yeah, like, I'm not overly surprised, like, with computers and digital and, like, who's going to spend all that money on a hardcover omnibus?
Oh, and they're, okay, us right?
Old guys, us old guys
with our arthritic hands holding this 600-pound, 128-page hardcover omnibus. Like, I don't own a single omnibus for that reason. They're just too massive.
Yeah.
They're just too huge.
Yeah.
You know, and like I was getting the new Teen Titans. They were coming out with trade paperbacks. I think they're up to the trade paperback number 10 by now. So they're just like thin trade paperbacks, and they've been coming out over the past couple of years. And I guess there is some danger that they're going to cancel that and not finish the run. But I've just been buying those.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what's that? Like every 7 months, I'm paying $24.99 for a trade paperback. And all of a sudden it's like, no, we're going to put it all in a hardcover omnibus. It's going to be 14 inches thick. And we're going to ask you $200 for it. Hear it all in one pop all at once. Doosh. Like it's just nuts. It's crazy.
Yeah. And I mean, you can get some deluxe editions, which aren't as
big. Yeah, exactly.
But I mean, I've got the Why and the Last Man, all the deluxe hardcover trade paperbacks, which are great, but they're not, 6 inches thick and weigh 500 pounds.
Now, don't tell my little sister this, but when she was in college, she asked me, she wanted to adult. So she asked me what I wanted for Christmas, and I jokingly said I wanted Absolute Sandman number one, knowing that it was super expensive. And for my birthday, I asked for like this World of Warcraft beer stein, which was also super expensive. And I was just joking. Like, I wasn't being serious. I would have been happy with just a Christmas card and a birthday card and a kiss on the cheek, right? She freaking delivers them. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what the heck? So we had a conversation later, and I was just like, no, you don't got to.
Oh, thank God, because it was expensive.
Like, you don't got to do that, kiddo. But anyways, don't tell her, because she spent a lot of money. I haven't even cracked the spine on that Absolute Sandman number one. And that was what, like 10, 15 years ago?
Yeah.
Like, it's just huge. It's this big, massive book sitting there on the bookshelf.
But does it look good on your shelf?
Yeah. Oh, it looks great.
That's all that matters.
That's right.
It looks great, but oh my gosh.
And you've got a great story to tell.
I do have a great story to tell at her expense. I gotta tell you that much.
Oh boy.
But yeah, it's fun. So I don't know. I mean, is that a thing?
I just like it's weird because like I see both sides. Like I see why DC is canceling them. I see why it would be nice to support comic shops and to buy them at full price, but then I look at my wallet and I'm like, nobody can afford to buy all these things.
Yeah.
So, and I've got a shelf at home that's just full of maybe not even things I wanted, omnibuses that were cheap, and I was like, you know what, for $40 I'll pick up the entire X-Force run in an omnibus.
Yeah, sure.
So I did. It's not necessarily something I wanted, but I read parts of it.
Yeah, that's the big problem, right? It's on sale. I got to get it because it's on sale.
Yeah, I don't need it, but it's on sale.
I don't even like it, but it's on sale.
I might read it. I might read it. I don't know.
Yeah.
But the ones that I do want never go on sale.
Yeah. Which one are you looking for now?
Well, I have a couple of Green Lantern ones that I keep in my shopping cart just watching to see if the price goes down. And the Final Crisis one that's like 1,500 pages.
Yeah.
So, but I did buy a couple years ago, I bought the Infinity Event one. That in the huge omnibus, and there was also a companion omnibus with a whole bunch of the side stories. And I bought that because I was like, I wonder if this is going to tie into the Infinity War movie coming out in 7 years. And I don't actually remember what happened in the issues to remember if it did really tie in or not. But yeah,
and you didn't read them before the movie.
Yeah, well, I read the whole Infinity omnibus, but I did not read the whole companion because it was all over the place. Like, the stories were just too far removed from what I had read to know where they were supposed to fit in, and so I just gave up on that one.
Yeah.
So, and that kind of sucks.
Well, I've got a lot of those. Marvel's got the Epic Collection, the thicker softcover reprints, and then DC's got the Silver Age and the Bronze Age. I got a whole bunch of those in my two purchase. And then there's Legends of the Dark Knight with Steve Englehart, and that's reprinting. You must remember the Joker's Batman story with the fish, and the fish had the smiley faces. And this is supposedly this story that came out, I think it was in Detective Comics, is the first time that the psychotic version of Joker was done. Before, he was just this criminal, goofball, silly clown, more clownish. And this is the first time that he actually, you know, a little bit psychopathic. And that's getting reprinted for the first time in a long time. So that's coming out in hardcover, hopefully. And then Super Friends is coming out in hardcover.
Oh, yeah?
And since those books are so expensive each, I mean, I'm trying to get the set, but I figure it'd be easier to reread them. But I'm not sure if I'll just rent that at the public library.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every Super Friends book I find is beat up and cover ripped off.
Well, yeah, because they were meant for kids, right? Yeah. So kids got them back then and really destroyed the snot out of them.
Yeah.
But other than that, the only other thing I've got is Doctor Who, John Pertwee, complete season 4.
I have that in my cart as well.
And then Shazam and Captain Marvel. Hard Ticket to Hawaii. That's a movie for Adam.
See, the problem with all these pre-order things, though, is like, for example, the Doctor Who one. Right now, it's like $85. And you know that when it comes out, it's going to be $65.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's just full suggested retail price right now, which is not even the price it would be in any store anywhere. So why do they, if you put that up for $60, like you're going to have it, I would already have just put it in my cart and like bought it, paid for it, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm not going to do that and wait and see. But.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. I mean, I remember, I can't remember if it was the Peter Davidson issue disc set or the second Tom Baker set, but I saw them at Sunrise and it was like 80 somewhat bucks.
Yeah.
And then I looked on Amazon, it was 60 something, and I'm like, geez whiz, like, you
know, probably the Peter Davison one.
I want to support local as much as possible, but that's a big price difference.
Yeah, definitely.
That's a big price difference, you know. Like, I run a business here in town myself, and like, I know, you know, like the 20 bucks I saved, I probably go downtown and have dinner at a restaurant or go to Gregory's at things from my mom's basement or Planet of Stuff and buy something, stuff like that. So I don't feel that bad, but I do kind of, but it's like, how do you compete with this juggernaut? Like, it's inkjet printers. I can actually go to Costco, Walmart, Amazon and buy an inkjet printer cheaper than I can get it from my own distributors, wholesale distributors. So we don't even carry inkjet printers. Anybody wants an inkjet, I'm like, no, you just off to Costco. Here, I'll even let you use my Costco card so I get the 2% reward bonus here. Go to Costco.
Yeah. So what do you guys got in front of you there?
We got comics. I think Dan needs to go first, though.
Yeah.
Well, last week, on the show last week, I was talking about the lack of hope in comic books. And then I said, hey, there's a free comic book day issue from Source Point Press called Hope. So I'm going to go home and I'm going to read that.
I missed that. I wanted to grab a copy.
So I grabbed the copy while I was at the free comic book day event. And I read this and there is no hope in this. I think maybe the hope's the character's name.
Yep, I'm pretty sure that's the case.
Oh, but like, you'd think a character named Hope, there would be some lightness to it, or, you know, like a feel goodness. But obviously, I'm expecting too much out of anything, out of any media at this point, to have any sort of feel goodness out of anything.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the issue's fine. Nothing wrong with it at all. You know, it's an interesting premise, which is world with superheroes, but they're all like sort of you have to be registered with the government, and if you're not registered, you're an illegal superhero. And she happens to be an illegal superhero who gets discovered because of a car accident that she's in, and her kid gets taken away from her by the government because of her putting her in danger as a superhero. So it's a very interesting, like, I don't know if I've seen this exact premise before. I haven't read as much as you guys have, but I haven't read anything with this exact premise. So I was like, okay, I mean, the premise is fine, but where is the hope? Yeah. I need some hope.
Well, it's nice, how should I say, it's friendly art. Does that count?
friendly art.
Yeah, it's got a like a cartoonish style versus a yeah, it's a little realistic style.
It's a little like, well, I wouldn't even say like cartoonish per se, but it's, you know, more.
This is the kind of
traditional.
This is the kind of art you would expect to see in a Scholastic book like Babysitter's Club, or Lumberjanes, or you wouldn't expect to see this in like a Vertigo book or a book from.
Yeah, yeah, it's a little.
So they're kind of like tricking you. The book is called Hope. The art is the friendly, art, and yeah, welcoming.
Friendly and welcoming. And then, bam!
Bam, they hit you with no the harsh hope. Reality.
Only bad things
harsh
happening.
Harsh reality.
So.
But is it good? Did you like it?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Is it good enough? Did it do its job that I'm going to keep reading? The answer is no, I'm sorry. But I'm not regretting the time I spent reading it. Yeah. And I would certainly, you know, say, hey, if what I said to you sounds good, go pick this up. But I was looking for hope. So
no to the pull list.
No to the pull list. Well, you know what? I don't have... I have a very small pull list. Maybe I'll buy it digitally.
Yeah.
Because I seem to prefer new comics digitally now instead of the pull list, because I can just go and get whatever I want whenever I want there. And by digitally, I mean I will still pay for it. I don't pirate comics. But I'm not going to, you know, add this to my pull list and drive to Oshawa to pick it up, or yeah, even walk downtown to pick it up. So that's my one. I have something else, but Marty can talk about his first.
Well, I was just going to mention my pull list, since we were talking about pull lists right for a sec. My pull list has hit below $75 for the first time in decades.
Wow.
It's crazy. I just started hacking and slashing books that, like, again, I've got that to read pile, and I'm looking through it, and it was like, I just grabbed like a whole whack of Aquaman. And I was like, I'm not going to read this. Cancel. You know, yeah, grab the whole whack of Justice League. I'm like, there is 9 issues of unread Justice League in my to-read box. Obviously, I'm not motivated enough to keep up with it. Mm-hmm. Cancel, 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 cancel. But I did add, I guess I missed it last month, but DC is starting to, you know, those 100-page giants that were Walmart USA exclusives, mm-hmm, and they all contained an original story in it and then reprints.
Yep.
Well, they're reprinting those original stories in miniseries.
Oh.
So there's a Superman, I can't remember what it's called. I think there's like Batman Universe and Superman Unleashed or something. Mm. And there's a Wonder Woman book. So the new August solicitations that hasn't come out yet in magazine form, but you can get them on the web, has issue 2 of the Superman, the Batman, and the Wonder Woman. But they have issue 1 of the Teen Titans book.
Uh-huh.
So I'm like, you know, 6-issue miniseries. I just canceled 14 titles. I'll get a 6-issue miniseries. So I'm going to put that on my list because I'm always a big Teen Titans fan.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see how that goes, because I missed those. I think I have issue 3 and 4 of Batman, issue 3 and 4 of Superman, maybe issue 2 of issue 1 of Swamp Thing. I don't know.
Yeah.
Because it's sporadic, right? Because they're all from the States. So, and I'm not paying $20 a copy.
No.
For a plus $5 US book. Yeah. Plus shipping. So, yeah. I mean, my cousin Rich went to the States, and he brought back a whole bunch. But those were the, like I said, the issue 3 and 4s.
Mm-hmm.
So, missed out. But it was pretty good. So, yeah. Pull list looking kind of slim.
Yeah. I've been to CBA twice since they switched locations in September.
Jeez Louise, I've been there more often than that, and I don't even have a pull list there.
Well... you did go one time and pick up my books, otherwise I would have been there 3 times.
Okay, well that's fair. You can count that as a third time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm probably gonna swing by. I gotta go to Hamilton tomorrow for a wedding rehearsal. So Sunday I'm probably gonna take a nice leisurely meandering stroll through Ontario on the way home and hit the Frelton Flea and the Gotham Central and the CBA and the Worlds Collide and the GNU and that one place that I keep forgetting what the name of it is north of Gotham Central. The weird one with all the gaming tables and the statues in the front, and you kind of sneak in, and they always have shit piled on top of the bins. And
oh, and you mean no? Which one are you talking about?
North of Gotham.
Did we go there on one of the comic trips one time?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, I know the one you're talking about, but I don't know the
really
name.
Cluttered. I think it might be called the Comic Warehouse.
Oh, yeah. Near the airport.
Yeah.
I think it's called the Comic Warehouse. Yeah. I know. I haven't been there since one of our last. Yeah. When we went with you guys.
So we'll swing by there probably. And like I said, take a nice leisurely meandering stroll through Ontario on the way home.
That's a lot of meandering.
Wow. I got nothing better to do.
Oh, man.
My weekends have suddenly freed up quite a bit. Yeah. Again,
yeah. So what book you got there?
I have Lucha Mystery. Diego Vasquez and Evan Queering. I should really get my reading glasses. I think it was Evan a few years ago or a year or so ago, fired up a Kickstarter or something for this comic book called Lucha Mystery. And it looked really compelling. It looked like the art looks really good. And I was like really excited and interested and stuff like that. But it was one of those cases where the shipping was bonkers, you know. Yeah. $6 for a physical copy of the book and $20 in shipping or something. It was something crazy like that. And no fault of his. That's just the way shipping works. And it's just a fact of life. Not everybody has Amazon Prime. So it's just the way it is. But I just couldn't justify it for a whatever it is, 24-page, 32-page, 28-page comic book. So I kind of kept following it, but not really reading it because, you know, it was hard to get. And I'm not that big on the digital like Dan. And on my Facebook, somewhere on Facebook, came up this thing saying, hey, now available printed through Studio Comics Press, our good friend Alfonso.
Yeah.
Espinosa in
Kitchener.
Is he in Kitchener? Is he in Cambridge? Or is he in Waterloo?
I think he's Kitchener.
Aren't those the Tri-Cities?
Yeah, it's the Tri-Cities now.
He's in the Tri-Cities.
And it was always Kitchener-Waterloo, and I know they added Cambridge to it. I'm just not sure.
No, I think it's Kitchener.
He's in the Kitchener part?
I think so.
I feel like he's in the Cambridge part.
No, I don't think he's in Cambridge.
All right, well.
he's in the Tri-Cities.
Studio Comics Press.
Yeah.
We'll put a link on the Facebook page. It's an amazing shop. Yeah. Alfonso is literally the hardest working behind-the-scenes guy in comics. So, and you know, Alfonso, I get stuff from him all the time. So all of a sudden it was like, oh, sure. Next time I see him, I'll get it. And then like 2 days later, the itch was just too much. So I went to the Studio Comics Press online store and the shipping was, I don't know, $5 for two copies or $8 for two copies. I'm like, that's fine. So I got issue one and two. And, the artwork is, Chris and I were talking about this in the kitchen, even though Dan is very right. There should be no conversations in the kitchen because then we use up all our good conversation stuff. His art is like a cross between Vargas, the guy who used to draw the good girl art,
oh, yeah,
and Todd McFarlane. Like I see a lot of, now that you mentioned it, a lot of Todd McFarlane in the facial expressions.
Yeah.
But, you know, everybody's drawn quite buxom and voluptuous and the muscles and everything. So what it is lucha libres, right?
Yep.
Mexican wrestlers. And a UFO gets shot down above a wrestling match and it gives all the wrestlers strange and unusual superpowers, kind of Fantastic Four style.
Perfect.
But it's got this sci-fi element to it and it's got this like I said, everybody's the one heroine's running around in a bra and panties the whole time, as opposed to like regular outfit. I can't even remember
this
why.
Is Survivor?
And it's just like, it's just like a fun book. Now, because it's such a huge cast of characters, normally that kind of pre-setup that you find in issue one continued into issue two.
Yeah.
So we're still learning about the cast and characters in issue two. So the story is slowly evolving over the course of a couple of issues so far, but I mean, it's a lot of fun. It's a hilarious, goofball-y, you know, visually appealing kind of fun book and extremely professionally done. Like you know, word balloons, text. Like, that's one of the things you can always tell independent comics, right? Is right away, what's the production values look like? What's the coloring look like? What's the text balloons look like? Is it lettered? Like, you know, Andrew Thomas will be the first one to tell you that lettering is a skill set. Mm-hmm. It's not just something, anybody can do. Yeah. And that's one way you can kind of see the difference. And it looks great. And fun book, fun story. So Lucha Mystery.
Lucha Mystery.
Available at Studio Comics Press if you're in the Ontario area. I think this guy's out of Manitoba. So maybe if we go on the Facebook and stuff, you can get it direct from him from Manitoba. Maybe, I think.
Okay.
Can't remember exactly, but yeah, really fun book. I got issues 1 and 2. Highly recommended.
Funny side story, the writer, I follow him on Instagram. He follows me, and he only likes pictures of me and Tabitha. That's it. Out of everything I post, he's like 3 pictures ever, and they're all just pictures of me and Tabitha.
Well, there you go. Maybe he has a soft spot for Young Love.
I mean, she'll probably show up in issue 4.
I'm just looking at this advertisement picture, and this young monster lady needs to go talk to her plastic surgeon because something's just not right.
That gives me a zombie tramp vibe, that it ad. Does,
but things are pointing just in directions like crazy, and it's just not making sense to me.
Yeah. The art in Shadow Hunters is not quite as good as the art in Lucha Mystery. And you said you read the first issue digitally, did?
Yeah, a couple. Basically, probably the same time you saw the first issue. Yeah. Like, and I, just went, okay, you know what? I'll pay $3 for it or whatever and buy it on Comixology. Picked it up, read it right away because our good friend Donovan had done the colors on it too. So I was wanted to pick it up to help support something he's worked on, and gave it a read, and I thought it was pretty good. I'll definitely check out issue 2 when I get around to it, and maybe if I'm ever in the Tri-City area, pick up physical copies as well.
And it's like the mystery part is very much like a Scooby-Doo adventure. Like, there is like a mystery going on in the background there, and it's kind of goofball-y, and I think it's a fun book. This is the kind of stuff that got me into comics in the first place. That keeps me in comics is fun books like this. Space Pig Hamadeus, this, Harlan Buck. Those are just really, really good independent books.
Is there an old man in the background every now and then? Because if there is, odds are he did it.
Yeah, no gossip.
is there a real estate developer in there?
Those darn kids. I would have got with it if it wasn't for those darn kids.
I'm excited because Space Pig went on sale with like free shipping last week.
Yep.
And so I picked up all the copies from Donovan, and hopefully those will arrive soon because I haven't read it yet. And it was another case of just the shipping.
Yeah.
Was quite a bit. And so I was just waiting, and then I post the thing saying, hey, free shipping. And I was like, boom, immediately.
I've got all the issues of Space Pig so far that have been released. But my issue number one, Donovan did this amazing, I can't even remember who painted it though. It's an amazing homage to the old painted gold key covers.
Mm-hmm.
And he had one of those, and I was like, oh my gosh, I just love gold key comics. So I need to have that version. So I got that version, and I think there was only like 75 copies or something printed. And I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool and stuff. And now it's like, oh wait, this is kind of, special. Maybe this should be in Mylar, and I'll get a regular number one to read. So I ordered just an issue 1 with that sale thing. So
yeah,
I got a regular copy of issue 1 coming.
And Donovan just posted on Instagram a sneak peek of the next issue he's currently scripting. So
yeah,
issue 5 in the works.
He and I were talking about that. He's got some interesting plans there. So should be fun.
But I mean, the character has also appeared, I believe, in the Aurora Man annual, right?
He did indeed. A couple of other places too. But he featured pretty big in the Space Pig, wasn't it? In the center story in the annual?
I haven't read it.
Oh my gosh. It's the first appearance in cameo of Captain Polska.
I own it, but I haven't read it.
How could you not have seen it?
Oh, man.
I'm allowed to. I just have to own it.
That's, yes, you are.
That means that,
Now, I've actually been doing reading this week. Another book that I was reading, I did the same thing, right? Went through the long box and started pulling out comics. And there's this big, huge bundle of Flash. Now, I've been reading Flash since Wally Wood's first issue, as the Flash. So right after Crisis on Infinite Earth. So that was Mike Barron and Jackson slash Butch Goose, however he pronounces his name. So I've been reading it since then. Didn't read too much Barry Allen before that. And big, huge Flash fan. It's like one of the very first books that I ever had on a pull list. I've been reading it ever since then. When was that? 83, 82? When was Crisis?
A few years ago.
Let's just, somebody's going to correct me, but let's just say 80, 84, 83.
Can I correct you on his name? Because you called him Wally Wood.
Well, Wally West.
Wally West.
Did I say Wally Wood?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. I'm really showing my age there by saying Wally Wood. Holy moly, Frank Frazetta and Wally Wood. Did I really?
Yeah, you did.
That's a slip. Okay, so Wally West. And so I've been reading it since, well, geez, that's 40 years?
Yeah.
Maybe? So I'm looking at this stack of Flashes, and I was doing the same thing. I was like, I have a whole stack, like 9 issues of Flash, and I've just totally lost it on the series. It's not fun. I don't like it. Yeah. And I'm just going to pitch it. I'm just like, okay, I'm going to drop it from my pull list. And somebody said, oh, no, Flash year one is coming. Mm-hmm. So it's a little series within the series. So I'm like, okay, well, I won't cancel it from my pull list. I'm not reading these 9 issues. They're just going in the box because it's stupid Speed Force and Planet Speed Force with Speed Force. Now it's Slow Force and Gravity Force. And I'm just like, oh, this is like the Green Lanterns with the multiple rings. Like, we just opened up this bucket of worms. It's a bad story. I don't like it. The book's only popular because of the TV show. Anyways. That's the wrong Flash. It should be Wally, and they just killed Wally, and I'm just on some Wally. And anyways, so then the Flash year zero, year one is like coming, right? So I got the first 2 issues of that. I think it's Flash 70 and 71, 72, not sure. Anyways, it was really good. It was really interesting. You know, it's supposed to be Barry Allen's first year after his accident. Before, like, that's what all the year ones are, right? Mm-hmm. How the hero gets into his thing. I mean, it started with Batman year one, and they've been doing it since. And I think they're doing a Superman year one.
Yeah.
In a few months, yeah. With Frank Miller, I'm probably not going to get that. That would be like the Dark Knight 3. I'll be wait for the trade for that thing because it'll be delayed forever. But so 1 and 2, really good. You know, they had the gimmicks in there, like, well, the Barry finds out that he burns through running shoes, and, you know, those kind of funny things. And there's like a little time travel thing where he meets Flash from the future, and he gives him a few tips, and the cosmic treadmill, and gives him the cosmic treadmill. And I'm like, okay, this is like throwback stuff. This is cool. This is all right. So I'm sticking with Flash because the first 2 issues were pretty good, but.
See, that's why I like Uncanny so much. Uncanny X-Men, because there's...
You mean the book that's canceled?
Yeah, don't get me started. But I know you don't like it, but all the old stuff, all the old villains, and that's why I've been liking it so much.
Yeah, not me. I just... I think it's one generation of X-Men older than was my sweet spot. Mm-hmm. So you're more the Extinction Agenda X-Men, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Give or take. And I'm a little bit earlier than that. The old Leonardi and Silvestri, Chris Claremont written issues with The Brood and the Australian and Gateway.
Gateway.
Gosh, awesome. I love that stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's all going bye-bye. That's all going see you later, alligator.
Yeah.
The Hickman's taking over. Yeah. Everything's being canceled. 2 books are coming out. 2 a month.
Power of X and House of X. Which...
I saw a female version of Colossus with Ileana's sword.
I'm assuming it's Ileana, but somehow she has his powers as well.
Well, it's got black hair. She's a blonde.
I don't know.
So that hasn't been revealed yet?
I'm not getting it. I can't do it.
Yeah.
I want to somewhat, but I just can't.
Well, you figure, I think it's 6 issues, isn't it?
Yes, I haven't.
8?
something like
It's a mini series, so it's only going to go on for a few months. But so maybe after that, they're going to. Chris Ellis just told me it's 1985 for Crisis on Infinite Earths.
There you go.
So chances are it was like 86 that Flash came out. 87.
So
87. That's right. Yes, I can now. I can literally picture the cover in the box saying 87.
Oh yeah, yeah. The comma 87. Yeah. Okay. Now, okay. So speaking of Wally West, can you explain the last issue of Heroes in Crisis to me?
Yeah. Wally snapped and killed everybody.
But wasn't he also dead?
No.
I thought he was one of the dead people.
He is. He killed himself. He used the Speed Force-y thing to do some kind of time travel-y thing. Yeah.
And
so he went, he killed everybody, then he went back in time and killed himself.
Wow. And that's not even the last issue, is it?
And he didn't kill his past tense version. Like, he went back in time, killed himself, laying down on the ground, so that his future, like, his past self could continue that progression. So there's no, he didn't nullify his actions.
He killed himself, actually.
Yeah, he's got this little loop going.
Yeah.
That will constantly make sure that, like, and to be honest with you, I'm kind of waiting till I get all the issues of Hero Crisis together to reread it.
Yeah.
Because that's one of those things where I was reading it, but it's a bit of a sporadic publishing schedule a little bit, late issues and stuff. So I've lost the story. So I want to sit down and reread the whole thing because I'm sure I'm missing nuances like crazy.
Yeah. Speaking of lost stories, are you reading Batman Who Laughs?
No, I think I have the first issue.
I am so confused.
Yeah.
Like, with all these different Bruce Waynes and Batmans, and it's just like, and the artwork. I mean, this is, what's his name, Jock?
Yeah.
But it drives me insane. Like, it looks like a 5-year-old did it. I'm sorry, but it does.
Well, he draws great covers, but I can't imagine.
I have to force myself to read it.
Did he draw 100 bullets?
No, I don't think so. I don't remember being that sketchy. What did Jock draw? I know he drew a big cover, or a Batman cover that everyone loves.
Yeah, yeah.
But to read a whole miniseries with his artwork, it just... And then you add a confusing story on top of that.
Oh, he drew... help me out here. Chris Evans and... the guy from Watchmen. Independent comic book turned into a movie that the movie didn't go so well. But it was really funny. I thought it was good. Insiders? No.
I don't know.
Anyways, carry on.
I don't know. It just, like, Batman, he makes the same kind of mask that the Batman Who Laugh has. So he can wear it, so he can understand the Batman Who Laughs, and it's turning him insane. And then maybe the Joker's there, and it's just like, I don't know. Like, the Batman Who Laughs goes to the Court of Owls.
Yeah.
And apparently he's trying to get in with them, but really he was just trying to kill them. And then the soldiers that they have, the talents, he turns around, and all of a sudden there's Bruce Wayne as a talent. I'm going like, I don't understand what is happening here. Because he's pulling Batman and Bruce Wayne in from different universes and stuff. And it's just, I don't know. It's just so confusing to me between the story and the artwork.
Yeah. Chris Ellis is saying that the Losers.
Losers is
the one I'm thinking of. Andy Diggle wrote it.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Excuse me.
No, there was two of those, right? They made two movies of that. I thought they made a sequel to that.
Did they really?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Maybe I'm thinking of something else. Something similar.
Yeah.
But so I got Donovan. Got Donovan on the line here. And he says Mike Keller was the guy who did the Gold Key covers.
Yeah.
For that series. And he also said that if we mention the free shipping on air, he'll keep it going for another week.
There you go.
And I was like, we already did. So
did he give you like a website to go directly to it?
Or? No. No.
So space pig, all one word, Amadeus, as in Amadeus with an H. Space Pig Hamadeus.
As in ham.
Yeah,
Hamadeus.
Oh, I see.
Does he pronounce it Hamadeus, not Hamadeus?
I don't know.
Because I don't know. I'm like, every time I'm reading the book, I'm like, Hamadeus, Hamadeus. Hamadeus, Hamadeus, Hamadeus.
I mean, maybe we can post a link.
We will definitely post a link on the website, heykidscomics.ca, as well as on the Facebook page. We just got to get Domin to print off a 300 by 300 pixel ad. just go to the website, Domin, and see what you see. Make one similar.
There you go. Oh, boy.
So I have another comic here.
Yes, a big one.
A Princess of Mars, a graphic novel. Now, I haven't read this.
Isn't that...
But I just finished reading the book. Yes, it's a John Carter.
Yeah, yeah.
John Carter of Mars by Edgar Rice Burroughs, who also more famously wrote Tarzan. And I was... When the John Carter movie came out a few years ago, during the hype for the movie, I got excited about the books. And I bought... At the time, they had re-released three of the books. There's like 11 of them. They had released three of the books... re-release them in nice versions. I bought them and I read them and I love them and I haven't read them since. And then like a week ago, Leonard Kirk had posted something on Facebook about a couple books that he was reading. And one of them was John Carter, or A Princess of Mars, sorry, the first book in the series. And me, Leonard, and Daryl Joseph, we all got chatting about like how great the books were. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to go... And I'm going to reread this book. And so I reread it, like literally just finished it 2 or 3 days ago. And then this afternoon, Tabitha and I were going for a walk downtown. I was like, hey, let's go into Not a New Bookstore. So we went in there and then I just walked past their like manga pile and this was sitting on the top.
Oh.
And I was like, okay, I have to buy it. Like, this is fate. Like, I have to buy this. I just read the book, just talking about it. And yeah, so I picked it up. Haven't read it yet. Flipping through with the book so fresh in my mind, I can definitely see a lot of like small changes just to make it more visually appealing.
Mm-hmm.
Because the book is kind of like a lot of things will be described. Like a paragraph would be like, and then, you know, Tars Tarkington or something, who's like one of the main characters, he fought the other guy for several hours. But in the end, he was... You know, he was victorious, and obviously that's not a sentence that translates strictly to visual. You have to have a scene of a battle, right? So, but yeah, so I'm excited to read that. This came out in 2012, which is probably when the movie came out, I'm going to assume.
Yeah.
So.
Now, I went on a big kick reading Conan and John Carter way back in high school, and I haven't read them since, but
yeah.
I really should dig back into those novels. I think I need to just start reading some novels again.
You know,
it's been so long.
I hadn't read a book probably for like 6 months or a year. And then I just was in chapters in Oshawa and I was like, you know what? There's this book series I used to love. And I walked around looking, found the first book, bought it and read it. And then I was like, you know what? I miss like just reading. Because I spend so much time on my phone looking at stupid things. And instead of doing that, now I just look at stupid things for 2 minutes and I go, you know what? I'm just going to read a book.
Yeah.
And in the past month, I've read 3 books and I'm pretty happy. So
YouTube has far too much of my attention lately.
Yeah.
I think we should switch to reading some books again.
I have read the John Carter books, some of them.
Yeah.
And then I watched the movie and I was really disappointed with the movie.
I tried to watch the movie, and I literally just got like 10 minutes in, and I was like, not today.
Yeah.
Not today.
Well, I found that the one character, did he have like 4 arms?
Yeah.
They made him like Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah.
Like they tried to make him like a joke, like, and I'm thinking, this guy's like a warrior. What are you doing? Yeah. And that's what really turned me off was his... his portrayal in the movie.
Yeah. And I think like I'm pretty sure the actual like source material is public domain.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Because it's so old and there's so much stuff that has been made.
Yeah.
So you know, they can do whatever they want without being afraid that somebody's going to sue them or whatever, you know, make a character's. And then they get sued by George Lucas, like, that's Jar Jar, get out of there.
Mind you, I didn't mind the movie, but again, you got to have that Elseworlds mentality, yeah. right? You got to take it for what it is. Yeah. But speaking of messing with source material, have you guys seen the trailers for Brightburn?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, do I need to see this?
Yeah.
Those of you who haven't, the concept is, and tell me if this is familiar. An alien baby crash lands on a farm, and a mother and father that are childless raise the baby, and the baby ends up having superhuman strength and heat vision and all these other things.
Mm-hmm.
So that sounds awfully familiar.
Except he's not a very good little boy.
Except, like, he's not quite as wholesome as good old Clark Kent was, and the kid's got a little bit of anger issues because the other kids are teasing him, and he's got some problems, and then all of a sudden he finds out he's indestructible, and he like takes out his revenge on somebody, and he gets more and more evil, and next thing you know, he's like burning holes in refrigerator doors and killing waitresses and stuff, and putting his Superman symbol all over the place. I know it's not the Superman symbol, but it's the Superman symbol.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I gotta see this, because like, who, why hasn't this been done before?
Yeah.
In the entire history of Superman, why has nobody ever done a movie of what would happen if Superman actually was not white bread, Boy Scout, you know, raised by Kansas farmers to be good and just and all that sort of stuff.
Well, it kind of reminds me of that Bruce Willis movie.
Yeah.
The time travel one.
Oh, Looper.
Looper.
Really?
Where the little kid, he's a good kid, but when he gets mad, he gets mad.
Oh, yeah.
And starts ripping things apart with his mind.
But, like, yeah, like, what happens if a kid in today's, like, we were talking about this the other day, how kids, you know, more and more of them have anxiety issues and coping problems and cyberbullying and stuff. And, like, I had a bad time in grade 8 for 5 months. Other than that, my school experience was okay.
Yeah.
Some of these kids are just abused mentally from day one.
Yep.
So what happens in that case, instead of having the 1930s, you know, perfect upbringing, 1950s, wonderful, everything's perfect, and then now let's do this in the 2000s where things aren't quite so bright and cheery and the planet's dying, and like, this is, I gotta see this movie.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna go see it hoping for some hope, that's for
no.
sure.
No, there's no hope. It opened this week, didn't it?
I'm not sure.
Oh, did it?
I'm not sure about it. Pretty soon, I'm definitely going to go see Brightburn.
Mm-hmm.
That looks wicked.
Yeah.
Like, just the second I saw the kid's eyes glowing red, and I'm thinking, oh, heat vision! Yeah!
Like, I believe they were marketing it as a superhero horror film.
Yeah.
So, you know, and that's interesting. Just the marketing of it, you know. And also, like, not an anti-hero. You know, like we were talking about last week on the show, we were talking about how anti-heroes have like just infiltrated and ruined being an actual hero.
I blame Frank Miller for that one.
Darn you, Frank Miller.
Dark Knight.
Apparently it's out today.
It is, yeah. Oh, I gotta go see that.
Yeah.
Won't be today.
Is that, who was the director? Sunday. Like the direct, it's a famous director or a famous writer or something.
It's definitely a famous writer.
Like from the mind of... I feel like I want to say J.J. Abrams,
No, the writer's...
Somebody.
David Goyer.
Produced by James Gunn.
Oh, James Gunn. Yes, that's right. That's right. Who's the writer? So it's kind of a James Gunn movie.
Is it David Goyer?
The writer? Yeah. Writer. Directed by David Yarbreski.
The writer.
Written by Mark Gunn and Brian Gunn. No relation to James Gunn.
Does it say that?
Sure, no.
Oh.
It just says written by Mark Gunn and Brian Gunn. Early life. Oh, cousin of James Gunn.
So it's a full family affair. Anytime a gun is on a movie.
Oh wait, starring Elizabeth Banks, David Denman, and Jackson Dunn. No, that's Dunn, not Gunn. Oh man.
Oh, I like Elizabeth Banks. Cool. I can watch her in any. She's a good actress.
Yeah. She's the mom, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought somebody else had a writing credit on there, but Not according to IMDb.
Oh, wait, sorry. James and Mark are brothers. Brian is the cousin.
There you go. Whew. But yeah, I got to see it. I just got to play it. It's just plain ordinary. I got to see it. It looks amazing. Superman goes nuts.
I take it they won't hold back on that one.
No. No, this is going for the hard R. I'm expecting a little bit of horror movie gore. A little bit of, like, if I don't see skin bubbling with the eye.
Oh,
I'll be disappointed.
Speaking of skin bubbling, oh, nothing comic related, but I watched the first three episodes of the Chernobyl miniseries.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, my.
Is it good?
Oh, it's good. I mean, it's good to know the history and stuff, but the effects of the guys that were especially right in Chernobyl and the firemen that were there. Oh,
like I've seen more in a few documentaries and like some of the kids that were born afterwards and all this stuff. And it's like, yeah.
Well, the guys that were like inside the plant and the firemen that were outside picking up pieces of the interior of the... They melted after like a week.
Yeah.
Oh, it was just... Oh, anyways.
Like somebody lied to somebody there. No, it's okay. Just go in.
It's all about lying. Yeah, it's okay. All about lying. But anyways.
That makes you kind of wonder a little bit about what's that Japanese nuclear reactor that went up? Fujikawa or Fuji...
I'm not sure.
I mean, that was right on the ocean, and it's still leaking everywhere, and that's got to be a disaster.
You never get the truth about any of that stuff. But
I like how they wove that into the plot of the Godzilla movie that one time.
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
Have you seen the trailer for the new Godzilla movie?
Yes.
A few of them, yeah.
I saw it. The worst part, the one trailer I saw I went to see Detective Pikachu with the kids, and they had a trailer for it before that, and... There was a cringe line in there where somebody goes, "Oh my God," and somebody else goes, "Zilla."
Yeah.
And I was just like, face palm. Face palm.
I saw that today. Yeah.
And I was just like, God, no. Zilla. That's the worst. The worst.
But it looks like it could be a pretty good movie, though, with all those monsters.
I like the idea of Godzilla. However, I have never watched a Godzilla movie.
I used to watch a lot of Godzilla, but never... that kind of a fan that I can name all the monsters and stuff. I used to always enjoy watching them, but I just never that. It's like Doctor Who. Like I watch a lot of Doctor Who, but I couldn't name an episode if I tried.
I keep calling the one Mon Mothra.
Yeah. Well, I think that's
it's just Mothra though.
I think that's pretty close to the end there. So everybody, if you want to listen to previous episodes, head to heykidscomics.ca. If you want to download this as a podcast, we're available on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, and Google Play.
You have been listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Ontario, and available as a downloadable podcast at www.heykidscomics.ca and at www.firstcomicsnews.com. Promotional consideration for the show was provided by no one. Are you kidding me? We couldn't get advertisers if we tried. Wardrobe for our hosts was provided by Joe Nerds in Whitby, Ontario. They don't know that fact, but that is where we get 90% of our clothes from. No animals were harmed in the making of this radio show. Marty tried, but allergies won't let him get too close to Sam's cats. The views and opinions expressed by Sam are solely his own and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the rest of the hosts, as we all like The Walking Dead TV show. The Hey Kids Comics Radio Show is a Quinn Martin production and copyright Hey Kids Comico. Rebroadcasting in part or in whole of this show is forbidden, but really, who would want to anyway?